Was Leon a duplicate, or just people look like him?
No, I don't believe he was a duplicate in the sense that we know it. In fact, I know that he wasn't. There were three distinct entities, people, real people involved, lookalikes.
And yet there's enough difference.
Oh, there's obvious difference.
The photographic evidence will prove that they...
So the conspiracy to create a holy war is based upon the fact that the Arabs, the Palestinians, are occupying holy territory belonging to the Jews, namely the site of Solomon's Temple, which in fact Yuval Neiman says is the site where the Knights Templar used to house their stables and have their horses when they were fighting in the Crusades. The idea being that this area is being defiled and the Arabs must be removed. And when that happens, and it's going to happen, it's all in there, you'll find a conflagration starting. You'll find the Muslim holy war, the jihad will begin. The whole world will be sucked into this thing, ladies and gentlemen. And there will be nuclear weapons used, but it will be a war to finality, for once and all, for all, crush the Muslims and retain and get full control of the oil. The other thing I want to touch upon today is the situation in the Soviet Union. As some of you may know, I've written fairly extensively about the revolution that's taking place in Russia. I did this about a year ago, and I called it Russia 1991, the Second Revolution Has Begun, and I detailed the opposition to the way in which events would unfold and where this opposition was coming from, namely from the officers' club, the Soyuz Club, which is a group of officers determined to return the czars to power in Russia and determined to bring Christianity back to Russia and determined to make Russia the third Rome, capital of the world. That Soyuz group has done miracles. Combined with the Pamir group, they went from zero members to 22 million members today in 1991. A few days ago, I told George Green, as I sometimes do, give him information that comes my way, that there'd been a meeting of the officers' club, Soyuz, and 5,000 members had confronted Yeltsin and had told him that there's no way they were going to hand over control of their weapons or see the United Soviet Army broken up. So there was a very angry meeting. In fact, I heard today that because of that, Yeltsin's had some problems with his health, and he's now being told, look, you better take it easy. He got a very rough ride from the officers. I do not see the Soviet military relinquishing command of the country to people that they have themselves described as transitory figures. That's how they refer to Yeltsin. And although this was not in the press reports, they did stand up and tell Yeltsin that they were preparing to bring their own leader forward, and that they would have a leader that would be backed by the military that would reunite Russia and oppose the one world government. It's very interesting to note, ladies and gentlemen, that they do, this officers group, they do oppose the new world order, the one world government. And in fact, right now, I would say, one of our best hopes to hold back this advancing tide is the Soviet military high command. An interesting thing also happened. Marshal of the Army Yepyshev, he was approached by Baker a few months ago, and Baker was having his photograph taken with this man, and he was trying to urge him to say that they were going to give up control of their nuclear weapons, and a funny thing happened. Yepyshev just stood there, grinning like the Cheshire Cat from Lewis Carroll's famous novel, and he didn't say a word. But yesterday he had plenty to say. He said there's no way that they would tolerate any United States interference in the affairs of the Soviet armed forces. And Les Aspin, who's very closely related to the Queen of England and who's the point man when it comes to arms control in the United States, he's head of the House Armed Services Committee. He was dispatched by the Committee of 300 to see if they couldn't bring these recalcitrant officers to heel. And he was given the order of the boot. They told him, frankly, we will not tolerate United States interference in our affairs. Now you can go back and tell that to your President George Bush and all of these other guys, in language more or less approximating the terms that I've used here today. So we have two situations developing. We have this possibly very dangerous situation developing in the Soviet, what was the Soviet Union, and we have this equally dangerous situation developing in the Middle East. But closer to home, ladies and gentlemen, I want to draw your attention to another situation which affects each and every one of us in this room, and that is the activities of the California State Board of Equalization, which is a tax organization which has gone berserk since January the 1st. And I got information 2 days ago that they went to a certain small publishing house, and they came without any warning. They came with warrants that weren't even signed by a judge. There were big gaps in the search warrant as to what they were looking for was not specified. And they brought with them, ladies and gentlemen, very interestingly enough, members of the Secret Service. Now that threw me. I couldn't imagine what the Secret Service, a federal agency, had to do with the California State Board of Equalization, but I discovered from my friends that the idea was that they had accused the owner of the business, that accused his son of being a computer hack, and they'd alleged that the son was computer hacking from his business, which was a total fabrication. There's not a word of truth in it. Now, the Secret Service, as you know, is supposed to protect the president. They've done a lousy job in that regard. They're also supposed to protect the money supply and keep sacrosanct the useless Federal Reserve notes that we call money. They were offered the keys of the whole place. They were offered all the filing cabinets would be unlocked for them. Instead of that, they smashed all the filing cabinets open. They cut all the locks open with bolt cutters. They left carnage, a wreckage like you've never seen. They took all the computers and all of the records with them, and then they handed them back totally disassembled in 1,000 pieces and virtually put the man totally out of business. So I want to just urge all of those of you who come in touch with members of the public and people who may just drop by casually and begin to ask you a few leading questions, be very, very careful. If you're not sure yourselves, refer the matter to George Green and let him handle it, because we are living in very, very perilous times. And we are dealing with dangerous, unscrupulous people. We are run, ladies and gentlemen, by a terrorist government. A government that does not hesitate to commit acts of terrorism at home and abroad. The invasion of Iraq was a terrorist action. The kidnapping of General Manuel Noriega in Panama was a terrorist activity. We are controlled by people who have long ago abandoned the Constitution and who do not stop at any measure whatsoever to gain their own ends. So I would just urge you once again, be very cautious about strangers who approach you or people who may come asking idle questions.
John?
Yes?
Did you find out why that publishing company was targeted?
It was targeted because they were writing manuals about how you could use a computer to gain access to certain information. It was not illegal. What they were doing was perfectly legal. They were merely telling you how you could use your computer as a tool to broaden your knowledge, and some of it, of course, impinged on government property, which, of course, we know the conspirators don't like that. But they had absolutely no reason to come and wreck this man's business. Their warrant was not signed by a judge or a magistrate, and there were blanks all over as to what they were looking for. You know, when they come with a search warrant, they're supposed to specify precisely what they are looking for. In other words, they can't come in and go on a fishing expedition. But these people did, and they left his business totally wrecked. So beware of the California State Board of Equalization. It is a terrorist organization, and equally, if not more so dangerous than the Internal Revenue Service. So I leave you with those thoughts, and thank you for the privilege of talking with you today. I want to say I'm very much pained by the fact that I haven't been able to attend many of the meetings of late, but with all the events going on in the world and with so much of my time being taken up by these kind of things, it has been very difficult for me to come, but I am delighted that I've been able to be with you today, and I thank you for having me.
Question.
Thank you, Commander.
Question. What about Algeria? What is the situation there, you know, briefly?
The situation in Algeria is as follows. Algeria long ago in protection of its national sovereignty and its national integrity, having witnessed the bombing of Libya, the destruction of Iraq, began to make preparations to put together its own nuclear program. And in my newsletters about a year ago, I mentioned that Iraq would go, and then I said the next target would be Algeria because they fear its capabilities for putting together a nuclear defense weapons system. So what you have now is an attempt to totally topple the hitherto orderly form of government in that country, to create chaos and strife, and then to move in and take over the government either through surrogates or even by armed intervention, even by United States invasion. It's quite possible.
So are those quote fundamentalists who are rioting and such, they're not fundamentalists as far as...
Oh, they're fundamentalists, but you know, when you're dealing with the mind of the Middle East people, you have about five groups. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is owned and controlled totally by the Committee of 300. And those are the people who are doing the rioting. It is a Committee of 300 operation using the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood are the same people who destroyed the former president of Egypt as well, Sadat. Anybody else want to ask me anything? I'll try and answer if I can.
There again, the people of Algeria are not really aware of what their government's doing, are they?
The people in Algeria are as aware of what their government is doing as much as we are aware of what our government is doing, and that is zero. I can't think of any other way to put it.
There can be no other assumption.
Exactly, Commander.
You may as well let it be their name. They're good at what they do. They plan for generations, and they're pulling it off.
Oh, yes. These
you
people.
May as well call the old times that we wrote about, the protocols, the manifesto, etc., etc., only the groundwork instructions to get to here. And now what John is giving you ones is the plan from here on into here. And they fully intend to pull it off, and it's like the 100 million American citizens that they wish to have annihilated by year 2050. They fully intend to have it done by 2000.
And they will go. I've had a lot of people write to me. Sometimes my newsletters are given out by people. They, in their wisdom, think that what I've written is worthwhile, and so they send it to their friends to have a look at. And then I get a letter from a man I don't know even at all, and he said to me, well, isn't that a good thing? They're destroying all those blacks and Africans and all these mud races. And I wrote back and I said, yes, but you're next.
Plus, with that mentality, doesn't it scare you to death?
Where's Syria in this? Are they going to be bribed again by the one world order with Israel?
Yes. Absolutely. Syria has always been that part which cannot be relied upon to support its own people, because Hafez al-Assad and his brother are pretty much, well, what I guess what most human beings are like. Their self-interest comes first, and they don't care who they ally themselves with as long as they live in comfort and security. But the day will come when the rug will be jerked out from under their feet, and they will suffer the same fate as the rest of the Arabs. But there is a big war brewing up now. Pakistan, which almost came into the equation of the Iraqi war with its nuclear weapons, will definitely not stand by idly and see the Israeli army attack the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, and just stand by and do nothing. They will use their nuclear weapons. So we've got a pretty tremendous conflagration right on the doorstep, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll...
Well, there's lots of... Let's talk about KS.
Expected to help Israel?
Pardon?
The United States expected to help Israel?
Well, not only will it be expected to, it will do so freely and voluntarily. The big danger is here, and I pointed this out in... this work I wrote, it's a two-part work, Conspiracy to Create a Holy War. The manner in which the Christians in America have been set up, and I'm talking about the evangelicals and the fundamentalists who believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, and that it is their finite duty to support Israel based upon the false premise that Israel is the nation chosen by God himself to honor him on this earth. And you have some 80 million Christian fundamentalists in America today who are pouring colossal sums of money into Israel. And as soon as this conspiracy to create a holy war, as soon as there's an attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, you're going to find every Christian fundamentalist in the United States clamoring to the United States government to go and attack those filthy Arabs and get rid of them. Look what they're doing to God's chosen people. That is why ex-Prime Minister Begin said, when he came to the United States and was asked about the Jewish fundraising committees, he said, "I don't even want to meet those people. He said, I want to go and meet the Christian fundamentalists." He said, "They raise far more money for me than all the Jewish committees put together." So that's the big danger facing us.
Oh, you watch it. You watch it, because they're going on the basis of that temple has to be built.
That's right.
And that temple has to sit right there.
It has to be on
and
the spot of the
original. And you will see crusade-waving flags like you have never seen.
Oh, yes. And, of course, the minute, the big catch is this, ladies and gentlemen, that the moment they start rebuilding the temple, that is to be the sign of the coming of the Messiah. This is the big catch that they've got attached to this whole project. That the moment it begins, then that's the sign that the Messiah is coming back.
What is the mentality of the Christians who think that the Jews are the chosen people? What do they think they are?
Oh, they don't think that they are the chosen people of God. They think that they are specially privileged to be allowed to share with the Jews in this wonderful meaning of being a service to God, that they are like an adjunct to the Jewish faith. Mm-hmm. They think that they've been given a great chance to share in this wonderful and glorious return of the Jewish Messiah.
And through this, you know, this coming to the clouds, this rapture.
But is the Jewish Messiah the same as Christ?
No, it's not.
He's the Antichrist.
No, he's
the
Antichrist.
I don't understand.
They don't believe that.
They don't have any logic.
They don't believe that.
They're all sworn on somebody dying on a cross or murdered on a cross, and that's their big deal. They don't believe it. And then these people are going to be the one where we can just suck into what they've been doing.
Have you ever watched one of these emotional born-again Christian services? The whole thing is totally emotionally ridden. There's not one grain of common sense operating in the whole thing. It is totally an emotionally ridden experience. And that is how they operate. They operate purely on emotion and not on reason. And if you talk with them, they say, "Well, God doesn't expect us to reason. We feel in our hearts what is right. So we follow what our hearts tell us to do."
So they feel like they're the servants, and by being the servants of the Jews and the Messiah and all of that, they're
somehow
saved.
That's right. They act as an adjunct to the Jews, who are the true chosen people of God. Well, no, it's not. But every year they have tours, and listen to this, I'll give you a little bit of information. Every year they have tours organized by this committee to build the Temple of Solomon. They've got a guy down in Southern California called Terry Reishoven, and he collects millions of dollars for this project. I'm talking about millions of dollars. And every year he gets all these gullible Christians together, and they have about 10 tours, one on top of another. As soon as one is completed, the next lot go over. And hundreds of thousands of Christians go to Israel to identify themselves with this project of the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon. I'm talking in terms of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians. So you can see how this whole conspiracy is set up. I have laid the foundation for the story in there. I've given all the technical details about the Palestine Exploration Committee set up by Queen Victoria and taken on by her ancestor, Queen Elizabeth II. And as I said earlier, the interesting thing about this whole matter is that Yuval Niemann, the father of the atomic bomb, the great archaeologist, the great politician who's now riven and destroyed the Israeli cabinet, he's the man in charge. He is putting all this thing together. So that you can see, this is not just some little thing that's taking place in Israel. It is taking place in the United States of America as well, simultaneously, amongst 80 million Christian fundamentalists. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
John, you're not. Never mind that. He's not going anywhere. Let's talk a little about North and South Korea.
North and South Korea is another one of these setups where they're hoping to draw the United States into some kind of a conflict. First of all, we, the United States, we never back the right people. We've got a history of this dating back to the end of the Second World War. Every decent government, every right-wing government, every decent government that existed at the time of the close of the Second World War is today destroyed. And who destroyed it? Certainly not Moscow. Certainly not the communists. The State Department, the United States, destroyed it. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. Those are the people who brought down all of these once good, solid, right-wing government countries. They are destroyed. Now what you have, even today, if you look at what is happening in Yugoslavia, the European Economic Community has recognized Croatia as a separate individual nation. It should never in the first place have been part of Yugoslavia. That was done at the close of the Second World War. In fact, it dates further back than that, as I detailed in the work I did on Yugoslavia some time ago. Who has not recognized Croatia as an independent nation? Well, you guessed it. The United States government, your president, Mr. George Bush. He's happy to keep going with the communists. The Yugoslavian government is a communist government. They also run one of the biggest banks with $7 billion assets. And they also have their money tied up in the Geo Car in the United States. And one of their biggest buddies is Mr. Eagleburger, happens to be the Undersecretary of State for the United States government. So of course we are not recognizing the breakaway Croatia. It would destroy all the assets and take away all the billions of dollars that they've invested in this little game. So what you have in North Korea is actually a similar situation. We, the United States, are backing North Korea. We don't want to see a free, independent South Korea. We want to see any nation that tries for independence is going to be destroyed. Unless that nation is backing the principles and the ideas of a new world order, one world government. And the South Koreans have indicated long ago that they will not be part of that. So ergo, you have the United States siding with the North Koreans to destroy South Korea.
And South Korea has pulled out $65 billion out of assets out of the United States.
That's right.
All of our military is on high alert over
now
there.
Now we're getting there. Come on, let's talk
all
about
the
U2. Let's talk about the U2.
Oh, you do.
Well, I'd like George to go into the economic side of it. He's a good man on economics.
I'm talking about a U2 plane.
Oh, the U2 spy plane. Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun. That's been shot down over there. And
well, let's talk about that.
The U-2 was on a reconnaissance mission to find out exactly where the South Korean army units were stationed. They have some pretty secret divisions that are not generally in touch with the United States military command. They've been operating outside of the unified command. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have United States forces in South Korea. We have United Nations forces there. To this very day, it is not called United States Army, it is called the Forces of the United Nations. Now, the South Koreans know this, so they've been smart enough to keep some of their best divisions outside of the control of the United Nations. So lo and behold, what did we do? We sent one of our reconnaissance planes. Funny enough, this thing came from the same base that Lee Harvey Oswald worked at. Now, a lot of people think Lee Harvey Oswald was a dummy. He was not. He was a very, very smart individual. And he worked at the very same base in Japan where this U-2 plane was launched from. But it was downed, not by the North Koreans, but by the South Korean army units that are outside of the control of the North Korean, of the United Nations.
You're saying the South Koreans? But yeah, Hatton said it was taken about a cosmic here.
Oh, well, I'm not saying who did it, but I'm saying that it was done by forces outside of the North Korean and the South Korean army. There are certain secret areas of the South Korean army that they do not want Bush and company to know about. So I don't know who actually did the downing of the plane, but it certainly was downed.
Well,
it was on a mission to...
A Russian cosmosphere.
Well, this is
brought it down. That's
I wouldn't doubt
neither
that for
here
one second.
Nor there.
Right.
But the reason that it was over there is what's important.
The reason why it was sent to spy on these special units.
And what it was carrying. I want to tell you, all in this room, it had a nuclear war-headed, I don't know what you call it. I'm going to call it a missile. But it's very small. And the intent was to drop it accidentally. Just to cause an incident. Now that's why it was brought down, and it was brought down into South Korean waters. Now what you ones don't understand, and this is what John keeps touching on, that I think we need to discuss a little bit, because I'm not going to give you definite, well, you know, Sananda's going to be on a Russian-marked plane or something like that. Don't expect this. But as facts began to assimilate, information begins to assimilate, and you carefully ponder these things, you're going to be able to put some twos and twos together that are going to give you some nice round sums and a little bit of comfort. You're not in this alone. Your major enemy, if you will, it's hard on this earth, your major enemy is your own government. So, and, well, actually running right on up through your mother England.
Exactly.
It always goes back there. So that is your enemy. So know it.
It's interesting. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Well, I want to talk about the cosmospheres for a minute.
Certainly.
When you have the military still in charge of the atomic weapons, and Soyuz Pamyat still in charge of those cosmospheres. Remember something I told you a long time ago when we first started writing. The command has a very good workable relationship with the cosmospheres. Now that may sound very strange to you, but the ones doing space research at the time that those things were being built and progress was being made on them, they had the intent of space exploration for the sake of space exploration and the possibility of having inhabitable places set up to house part of the humanity on your planet. You see, there is an element on your planet who knows who the enemy is. And they don't really want to play games with them or ball with them. And now that you have a grid system hooked up where those pulsate beams can be sent anywhere, the thing that keeps you protected to any extent is all, is that to any extent at all, is that you have outside that grid system, you have another grid or another umbrella of cosmospheres. And they have more power and more maneuverability, more capability, more technological advanced perfection than anything that you have. And you've got a lot of pretty wondrous things. A lot of it having been done in conjunction with what I'm going to call the black elite of the Soviet Union. So you've got a real, real confrontation brewing, just as John said, in that old Soviet Union, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to get hot one of these days.
Pretty soon.
And you can count on the war beginning somewhere in the Middle East. And then you can count on the bear from the north marching down against those ones, and they will be driven all the way into Turkey. You can count on it. And then China is not going to keep out of it. The Mongols are going to come. And there are hordes of them. And there is going to be a conflagration. How bad it is remains to be seen. It's going to be bad. Because it has been intentionally done that all the third world nations now have capability of blowing up something with an atomic weapon of some kind. Just like putting it on a U-2 plane and sending it off for surveillance. To cause a happening. A happening. It will be a happening, all right. It's going to be like the KAL 007. Where right now, they have one of your senators in a Moscow prison. And they have the whole bunch of passengers that were supposedly gone down on Sakhalin Island incarcerated. There weren't any deaths really from that, quote, shoot down. So you ones have to look at everything you see with a very wary eye. Very wary eye. And if they start denying it, you know it's true. That's as far as you have to go to know it's a lie. The moment it's attacked and denounced, you know it's a lie, and it's probably very close to the truth, what you heard in the first place.
A question?
Please.
So in Edwards Air Force Base, are these Bolshevik Zionist Russians?
Son, please, let's not try to sort all that out. Just leave it as confused as it is.
In other words, it is confused.
It isn't even safe for you to pronounce the terms. And I certainly wouldn't bring that anthill to life in this room.
No, I think you should leave it.
I mean, when we speak discretion, let us honor our good fortune, call it whatever you want, to have some active surveillance people in our midst. You cannot win this one, my friends, unless you have the capability of matching their intelligence. You're not going to get it by fumbling along praying. You pray and then you get information and you work on that information. And we're very, very fortunate to have John here. And John, it wasn't easy coming here. He had a long way to go to come into any kind of comfort with our purpose.
A long way.
And we're not going to allow this New Age group attitude to continue. And yet neither are we going to jeopardize anyone by allowing anyone to think we're any smarter than that.
It was interesting for me personally that some time ago, I gave George some information about the number of flights that were coming in groups of six, four to a flight, and I told him they were carrying massive equipment for a new project they were starting, and I was told the dates that these flights were going to be there, and then I checked again in the evening and found they had arrived. They were came in four to a flight, six flights, so we had 24 very, very large transport aircraft landing at Edwards. In which they brought all this information, all this equipment for this new project.
The new $100 million project?
Yes.
They already have it on the ground?
It's on the ground. They brought it in with six times four flights of C-130s.
Which gives you a synchronization between now and the end of the month before Bush does something that they may go ahead and do something.
Exactly.
It's a little tenuous right now.
Right.
Well,
but the project, the material, the equipment for the project has arrived. It is there.
Probably right.
This is just a little aside to court. Ones of you will be coming into bits and pieces of information because of what you do. And I really appreciate it when it is shared. And I know that the curiosity sometimes gets very, very, very big. And you have a right. I want you to be curious. I want you to try to find out everything you can. Always being discreet and knowing that everything that you do now can be very dangerous either to yourself or to ones around you, because we are doing nothing subversive, nothing, and that's the way it's going to be. If telling the truth is recognized as being subversive by your government, then you better look at who are the treasonists. But just as a little bit of timing for your next real scare. We're trying to get some ones into closer proximity to come under a shelter of care. And we're hoping to do it before the middle of March. I don't know if you have that much time. I believe that in this community and toward the west you will have. That does not mean that you won't be into it in the Middle East. And watch what your government's doing. Where are your soldiers? What is going on? And wouldn't it be nice if you were going to start a big war if you had a whole bunch of them still in Saudi Arabia, for instance? The whole thing is built to confuse you, not to allow you to have reason about it. And if you get sidelined on specifics, let us just say Algeria or Syria or something, you must hold the overall concept and goal in your mind. And then watch what happens, and especially those things they just pass over very lightly, not the least of which is this radio installation. You'll get more information from what your mind will tell you if you'll be quiet and listen to it. And then use discretion. I won't keep you standing. Thank you.
Thank you, Commander.
Commander, I have a question regarding
Please.
Canada.
Please.
I know most of your work is focused on the United States for good reasons, but I wonder how far can we go in Canada in terms of, how do I put it, being not politically active, but in communicating the truth or with the MPs, you know, members of parliament and other representatives. Is it useful?
I think your best approach right here is to speak about that with John. I mean, you are talking to somebody now who was in His Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay, thanks.
Canada has a very strict system of control. Canada is not a country in the sense like the United States is. It's really an outpost of the Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and you have a system there where Canada is run by much the same institution as running America. The Council on Foreign Relations has its counterpart in Canada. It's called the Canadian Institute for International Affairs. So you have the same control mechanism in Canada. In fact, I would say that in Canada you have less opportunities for movement than we do in the United States as of now. The control in Canada is far more strictly exercised.
And it's so far-fetched to the American person to think that you're just now another little unwieldy colony of the crown. You're a little bit more accepting of that in Canada.
You see, in Canada, your whole system of control is run by the Knights of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, which are hand-picked individuals chosen by Her Majesty the Queen as her servants, her personal servants, and their duty is to serve her in whatever capacity she directs them. Now, you had the head of Canadian Pacific, you had the head of all of your the Bank of Nova Scotia, the Royal West Bank of Canada, Canadian Pacific Railroads, all the Montreal banks. Every one of those commercial enterprises is run by a selected individual who is in the order of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. They virtually control the total commercial activity in Canada, and they also control all of the political activity.
What about the Quebec situation now? It's they are in the process of working on the reforming of their constitution. At least they got committees going around the country trying to gather information from the public. How do you think the Quebec situation is to be resolved? Is it to be resolved, or is it just to divide the country?
I think it's merely to divide the country. It's easier to rule a country that's divided than one that's united, and we've seen that over and over again, in right down to local levels, where you have local municipal elections, you have divisions, and this goes all the way to the top. I don't see the the Quebec liberation movement coming to any success. I think it is being used as a spoiler operation to create turbulence within the country, to create discord, and a country in that state is easier to control than one which is in harmony.
Absolutely.
And I believe that's the situation there. But you have a strict control. Canada is so controlled by the royal family, the Queen of England particularly, through her Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, that they have control of every aspect of the commercial life of Canada. The commander of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is a member of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, the Knights of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, which is a total Freemasonic order. Again, get into that aspect, I don't particularly want to do that right now. But
would you know of any politicians or any political movement who would be trying to do some good to the country?
Yeah, they've all been arrested. You have four trials going on now. All these people have been charged with hate crimes. Those people were trying very hard to make a political. They've all been arrested and charged with hate
power
crimes.
Is too much to work up at the very top, I will tell you that.
But yeah.
I sat in a room with Pierre Trudeau and a few others at the time, and they just flat out said they control it all. So you're looking at Paul Volcker was there, you know, and they were.
Yeah.
And they, you just don't know the power. And you can't go back up and say, what senator is good? We got 535 of them. I think all of them are controlled in some way.
Anyway. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I would just make one other point, if I may. That is, there's one family that has control of Canada, and that's the Bronfman family.
Bronfman, yeah.
Yeah. Edgar Bronfman is an order, a knight of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. He's also a member of the Committee of 300. Now, they have total control. He's one of the strongest Zionists in the world, Edgar Bronfman. He runs the ADL branch of Canada.
The Jewish Congress president.
Yeah, the president of the Board of Jewish Deputies of Canada. He's in charge of that. You have such a tight control exercised in a limited group from the top down that virtually anything that happens in Canada is known instantly. And you'd have a terrific job to start any mass political movement that could in any way threaten the rule of Her Majesty the Queen. And you know, you've got all these people in your Privy Council. Your Governor General, he's handpicked by the Queen of England as a trusted knight of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. These people have got, they're like an octopus sitting there with all these tentacles out.
Okay, like in the United States, the commander is urging you American citizens to write to their congressmen or representatives and so on to make their views known. And
correct.
Everyone understand what is anything like that that could be done in Canada, I mean, at a grassroots level, okay, I want to write to my MP and so on, is it worth it? That's what I want to know.
Personally, I don't think so. I think the only thing that you're going to get from that is a visit from a member of the constabulary to ask you what your political views are and what your affiliations are. Don't forget, we still have some laws in the United States which give us a semblance of protection against that kind of thing. You do not have that in Canada.
What can you do, John, in your view? Because I think Bernard wants to know what to do where he is.
What you can do where you are is only begin at the level where you know people that you can really trust and have known, and you can get together and you can decide that you're going to try and educate people. And educate them by means, the lawful means in the government of Canada. And try to get your message out, but you are very much restricted in Canada. It is one of the worst countries in the world for the dissemination of information, simply because you've got this octopus with all these tentacles right on top of you. Fortunately, as of now, and of course it can change at any time, we do not yet have that in the United States.
I see. Okay. Do you know anything about the immunization program that is going on in eastern Canada where 300,000 kids, you know, children and youngsters are being inoculated in the wake of those meningitis cases.
Meningitis is an adjunct to AIDS. There are thousands of cases of meningitis in the United States that are not even being reported. In fact, we have a virtual epidemic in places like New York, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. An epidemic. I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of people going down with it. But it's not being reported because it's an adjunct of AIDS. When people, even measles is out of hand in the United States. Things that we thought were dead long ago, like smallpox, is rampant. Now you have a new threat on the borders, that's cholera, that's come up from Mexico. First of all, it started in Peru. That's where it began. And this is all deliberately done. I want to tell you, it's not something that's happened just as a accidental virus phenomenon. It's not that at all. It's deliberately constructed in this way. That has now reached this United States, where you get it in the morning and you're dead in the evening. That's all part of the Global 2000 plan. Inoculations, we had a big scare campaign in the United States a few months ago, and it's still ongoing, that everybody must rush and get flu shots. Now we're finding that 95% of the people who had flu shots are showing positive testing for HIV.
So that the danger alerts behind that program is well in Canada then?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If I were to have enough timidity to give you advice, I would say don't go near any inoculation programs.
I understand that, but I do have some nephews and nieces down east.
Well, it's very difficult.
It's a difficult decision.
This is the hardest thing that you ones are going to have to face. This is the purification. This is the cleansing. This is the way it is. This is what you've come to. And it's going to be difficult. Under the best of circumstances, it's going to be difficult. And you're going to be confronted continually. More and more horrendous things are going to come.
With Lee Harvey, a duplicate, or just people look like?
No, I don't believe he was a duplicate in the sense that we know it. In fact, I know that he wasn't. There were three distinct entities, people, real people involved. Lookalikes.
And yet there's enough difference.
Oh, there's obvious difference.
The photographic evidence will prove that they...
So the conspiracy to create a holy war is based upon the fact that the Arabs, the Palestinians, are occupying holy territory belonging to the Jews, namely the site of Solomon's Temple, which in fact Yuval Neiman says is the site where the Knights Templar used to house their stables and have their horses when they were fighting in the Crusades. The idea being that this area is being defiled and the Arabs must be removed. And when that happens, and it's going to happen, it's all in there, you'll find a conflagration starting. You'll find the Muslim holy war, the jihad will begin. The whole world will be sucked into this thing, ladies and gentlemen. And there will be nuclear weapons used, but it will be a war to finality, for once and all, for all, crush the Muslims and retain and get full control of the oil. The other thing I want to touch upon today is the situation in the Soviet Union. As some of you may know, I've written fairly extensively about the revolution that's taking place in Russia. I did this about a year ago, and I called it Russia 1991. The Second Revolution has begun, and I detailed the opposition to the way in which events would unfold, and where this opposition was coming from, namely from the officers' club, the Soyuz Club, which is a group of officers determined to return the czars to power in Russia, and determined to bring Christianity back to Russia, and determined to make Russia the third Rome, capital of the world. That Soyuz group has done miracles. Combined with the Pamiat group, they went from zero members to 22 million members today in 1991. A few days ago I told George Green, as I sometimes do, give him information that comes my way, that there'd been a meeting of the officers' club, Soyuz, and 5,000 members had confronted Yeltsin and had told him that there's no way they were going to hand over control of their weapons or see the United Soviet Army broken up. So there was a very angry meeting. In fact, I heard today that because of that, Yeltsin's had some problems with his health, and he's now being told, look, you better take it easy. He got a very rough ride from the officers. I do not see the Soviet military relinquishing command of the country to people that they have themselves described as transitory figures. That's how they refer to Yeltsin. And although this was not in the press reports, they did stand up and tell Yeltsin that they were preparing to bring their own leader forward, and that they would have a leader that would be backed by the military that would reunite Russia and oppose the one world government. It's very interesting to note, ladies and gentlemen, that they do, this officers group, they do oppose the new world order. the one world government. And in fact, right now, I would say one of our best hopes to hold back this advancing tide is the Soviet military high command. An interesting thing also happened. Marshal of the Army Yepyshev, he was approached by Baker a few months ago, and Baker was having his photograph taken with this man, and he was trying to urge him to say that they were going to give up control of their nuclear weapons. And a funny thing happened. Yepyshev just stood there grinning like the Cheshire Cat from Lewis Carroll's famous novel. And he didn't say a word, but yesterday he had plenty to say. He said there's no way that they would tolerate any United States interference in the affairs of the Soviet armed forces. And Les Aspin, who's very closely related to the Queen of England and who's the point man when it comes to arms control in the United States, he's head of the House Armed Services Committee. He was dispatched by the Committee of 300 to see if they couldn't bring these recalcitrant officers to heel. And he was given the order of the boot. They told him, frankly, we will not tolerate United States interference in our affairs. Now, you can go back and tell that to your President George Bush and all of his other guys. In language more or less approximating the terms that I've used here today. So we have two situations developing. We have this possibly very dangerous situation developing in the Soviet, what was the Soviet Union, and we have this equally dangerous situation developing in the Middle East. But closer to home, ladies and gentlemen, I want to draw your attention to another situation which affects each and every one of us in this room, and that is the activities of the California State Board of Equalization, which is a tax organization which has gone berserk since January the 1st, and I got information 2 days ago that they went to a certain small publishing house, and they came without any warning. They came with warrants that weren't even signed by a judge. There were big gaps in the search warrant as to what they were looking for was not specified, and they brought with them, ladies and gentlemen, very interestingly enough, members of the Secret Service. Now that threw me. I couldn't imagine what the Secret Service, a federal agency, had to do with the California State Board of Equalization, but I discovered from my friends that the idea was that they had accused the owner of the business, they'd accused his son of being a computer hack, and they'd alleged that the son was computer hacking from his business, which was a total fabrication. There's not a word of truth in it. Now, the Secret Service, as you know, is supposed to protect the president. They've done a lousy job in that regard. They're also supposed to protect the money supply and keep sacrosanct the useless Federal Reserve notes that we call money. They were offered the keys of the whole place. They were offered all the filing cabinets would be unlocked for them. Instead of that, they smashed all the filing cabinets open. They cut all the locks open with bolt cutters. They left carnage, a wreckage like you've never seen. They took all the computers and all of the records with them, and then they handed them back totally disassembled in 1,000 pieces and virtually put the man totally out of business. So I want to just urge all of those of you who come in touch with members of the public and people who may just drop by casually and begin to ask you a few leading questions, be very, very careful. If you're not sure yourselves, refer the matter to George Green and let him handle it, because we are living in very, very perilous times, and we are dealing with dangerous, unscrupulous people. We are run, ladies and gentlemen, by a terrorist government, a government that does not hesitate to commit acts of terrorism at home and abroad. The invasion of Iraq was a terrorist action. The kidnapping of General Manuel Noriega in Panama was a terrorist activity. We are controlled by people who have long ago abandoned the Constitution and who do not stop at any measure whatsoever to gain their own ends. So I would just urge you once again, be very cautious about strangers who approach you or people who may come asking idle questions.
John,
yes.
I asked, did you find out why that provision government was targeted?
It was targeted because they were writing manuals about how you could use a computer to gain access to certain information. It was not illegal. What they were doing was perfectly legal. They were merely telling you how you could use your computer as a tool to broaden your knowledge, and some of it, of course, impinged on government property, which, of course, we know the conspirators don't like that. But they had absolutely no reason to come and wreck this man's business. The warrant was not signed by a judge or a magistrate, and there were blanks all over as to what they were looking for. You know, when they come with a search warrant, they're supposed to specify precisely what they are looking for. In other words, they can't come in and go on a fishing expedition. But these people did, and they left his business totally wrecked. So beware of the California State Board of Equalization. It is a terrorist organization, and equally, if not more so, dangerous than the Internal Revenue Service. So I'll leave you with those thoughts, and thank you for the privilege of talking with you today. I want to say I'm very much pained by the fact that I haven't been able to attend many of the meetings of late, but with all the events going on in the world and with so much of my time being taken up by these kind of things, it has been very difficult for me to come, but I am delighted that I've been able to be with you today, and I thank you for having me.
Question.
Thank you, Commander.
Question. What about Algeria? What is the situation there, you know, briefly?
The situation in Algeria is as follows. Algeria long ago, in protection of its national sovereignty and its national integrity, having witnessed the bombing of Libya, the destruction of Iraq, began to make preparations to put together its own nuclear program. And in my newsletters about a year ago, I mentioned that Iraq would go, and then I said the next target would be Algeria because they fear its capabilities for putting together a nuclear defense weapons system. So what you have now is an attempt to totally topple the hitherto orderly form of government in that country, to create chaos and strife, and then to move in and take over the government either through surrogates or even by armed intervention, even by United States invasion. It's quite possible.
So are those, quote, fundamentalists who are rioting and such, they're not fundamentalists as far as...
Oh, they're fundamentalists, but, you know, when you're dealing with the mind of the Middle East people, you have about five groups. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood is owned and controlled totally by the Committee of 300. And those are the people who are doing the rioting. It is a Committee of 300 operation using the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood are the same people who destroyed the former president of Egypt as well, Sadat. Anybody else want to ask me anything? I'll try and answer if I can.
There again, the people of Algeria are not really aware of what their government's doing, are they?
The people in Algeria are as aware of what their government is doing as much as we are aware of what our government is doing, and that is zero. I can't think of any other way to put it.
There can be no other assumption.
Exactly, Commander.
You may as well let it be their name. They're good at what they do. They plan for generations, and they're pulling it off.
Oh, yes. These
you may as well call the old times that we wrote about, the protocols of manifesto, et cetera, et cetera, only the groundwork instructions to get to here. And now what John is giving you ones is the plan from here on into here. And they fully intend to pull it off. And it's like the 100 million American citizens that they wish to have annihilated by year 2050, they fully intend to have it done by 2000.
And they will go. I've had a lot of people write to me. Sometimes my newsletters are given out by people. They, in their wisdom, think that what I've written is worthwhile, and so they send it to their friends to have a look at. And then I get a letter from a man I don't know even at all, and he said to me, well, isn't that a good thing? They're destroying all those blacks and Africans and all these mud races. And I wrote back and I said, yes, but you're next.
Plus, with that mentality, doesn't it scare you to death?
Yeah. Where's Syria in this? Are they going to be bribed again by the one world order with Israel?
Yes. Absolutely. Syria has always been... that part which cannot be relied upon to support its own people, because Hafez al-Assad and his brother are pretty much, well, what I guess what most human beings are like. Their self-interest comes first, and they don't care who they ally themselves with as long as they live in comfort and security. But the day will come when the rug will be jerked out from under their feet, and they'll suffer the same fate as the rest of the Arabs. But there is a big war brewing up now. Pakistan, which almost came into the equation of the Iraqi war with its nuclear weapons, will definitely not stand by idly and see the Israeli army attack the Arab nations, the Muslim nations, and just stand by and do nothing. They will use their nuclear weapons. So we've got a pretty tremendous conflagration right on the doorstep, ladies and gentlemen. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll...
Well, there's lots of... Let's talk about KF.
Pardon? Well, not only will it be expected to, it will do so freely and voluntarily. The big danger is here, and I pointed this out in this work I wrote. It's a two-part work, Conspiracy to Create a Holy War. The manner in which the Christians in America have been set up, and I'm talking about the evangelicals and the fundamentalists who believe that the Jews are God's chosen people and that it is their finite duty to support Israel, based upon the false premise that Israel is the nation chosen by God himself to honor him on this earth. And you have some 80 million Christian fundamentalists in America today who are pouring colossal sums of money into Israel. And as soon as this conspiracy to create a holy war, as soon as there's an attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, you're going to find every Christian fundamentalist in the United States clamoring to the United States government to go and attack those filthy Arabs and get rid of them. Look what they're doing to God's chosen people. That is why ex-Prime Minister Begin said, when he came to the United States and was asked about the Jewish fundraising committees, he said, I don't even want to meet those people. He said, I want to go and meet the Christian fundamentalists. He said, they raise far more money for me than all the Jewish committees put together. So that's the big danger facing us.
Oh, you watch it. You watch it, because they're going on the basis of that temple has to be built.
That's right.
And that temple has to sit right there.
It has to be on
and
the spot.
And you will see crusade waving flags like you have never seen.
Oh, yes. And of course, the minute, the big catch is this, ladies and gentlemen, that the moment they start rebuilding the temple, that is to be the sign of the coming of the Messiah. This is the big catch that they've got attached to this whole project. At the moment it begins, then that's the sign that the Messiah is coming back.
Excuse me, John. What is the mentality of the Christians who think that the Jews are the chosen people? What do they think they are?
Oh, they don't think that they are the chosen people of God. They think that they are specially privileged to be allowed to share with the Jews in this wonderful meaning of being a service to God, that they are like an adjunct to the Jewish faith. They think that they've been given a great chance to share in this wonderful and glorious return of the Jewish Messiah.
And through this, you know, this coming to the clouds, this rapture.
But is the Jewish Messiah the same as Christ?
No, it's not.
He's the Antichrist.
No, he's the Antichrist.
They
don't believe
that.
They don't have any logic.
They don't believe that.
They're all sworn on somebody dying on a cross or murdered on a cross, and that's their big deal. They don't believe it. And then these people are going to be the one where we can just suck into what they've been doing.
Have you ever watched one of these emotional born-again Christian services?
Yeah,
the whole thing is totally emotionally ridden. Mm-hmm. There's not one grain of common sense operating in the whole thing. It is totally an emotionally ridden experience. And that is how they operate. They operate purely on emotion and not on reason. And if you talk with them, they say, well, God doesn't expect us to reason. We feel in our hearts what is right. And so we follow what our hearts tell us to do.
So they feel like they're the servants, and by being the servants of the Jews and the Messiah and all of that, they're
somehow
saved.
That's right. They act as an adjunct to the Jews, who are the true chosen people of God. Well, no, it's not, but every year they have tours, and listen to this, I'll give you a little bit of information. Every year they have tours organized by this committee to build the Temple of Solomon, I've got a guy down in Southern California called Terry Reishoven, and he collects millions of dollars for this project. I'm talking about millions of dollars. And every year he gets all these gullible Christians together, and they have about 10 tours, one on top of another. As soon as one is completed, the next lot go over. And hundreds of thousands of Christians go to Israel to identify themselves with this project of the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon. I'm talking in terms of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Christians. So you can see how this whole conspiracy is set up. I have laid the foundation for the story in there. I've given all the technical details about the Palestine Exploration Committee set up by Queen Victoria and taken on by her ancestor, Queen Elizabeth II. And as I said earlier, the interesting thing about this whole matter is that Yuval Niemann, the father of the atomic bomb, the great archaeologist, the great politician who's now riven and destroyed the Israeli cabinet, he's the man in charge. He is putting all this thing together. So that you can see, this is not just some little thing that's taking place in Israel. It is taking place in the United States of America as well, simultaneously, amongst 80 million Christian fundamentalists. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much.
John, you're not. Never mind that. He's not going anywhere. Let's talk a little about North and South Korea.
North and South Korea is another one of these setups where they're hoping to draw the United States into some kind of a conflict. First of all, we, the United States, we never back the right people. We've got a history of this dating back to the end of the Second World War. Every decent government, every right-wing government, every decent government that existed at the time of the close of the Second World War is today destroyed. And who destroyed it? Certainly not Moscow. Certainly not the communists. The State Department, the United States, destroyed it. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers. Those are the people who brought down all of these once good, solid, right-wing government countries. They are destroyed. Now what you have, even today, if you look at what is happening in Yugoslavia, the European Economic Community has recognized Croatia as a separate individual nation. It should never in the first place have been part of Yugoslavia. That was done at the close of the Second World War. In fact, it dates further back than that, as I detailed in the work I did on Yugoslavia some time ago. Who has not recognized Croatia as an independent nation? Well, you guessed it. The United States government, your president, Mr. George Bush. He's happy to keep going with the communists. The Yugoslavian government is a communist government. They also run one of the biggest banks with $7 billion assets. And they also have their money tied up in the GeoCar in the United States. And one of their biggest buddies is Mr. Eagleburger, happens to be the Undersecretary of State for the United States government. So of course we are not recognizing the breakaway Croatia. It would destroy all the assets and take away all the billions of dollars that they've invested in this little game. So what you have in North Korea is actually a similar situation. We, the United States, are backing North Korea. We don't want to see a free, independent South Korea. We want to see any nation that tries for independence is going to be destroyed. Unless that nation is backing the principles and the ideas of a new world order, one world government. And the South Koreans have indicated long ago that they will not be part of that. So, ergo, you have the United States siding with the North Koreans to destroy South Korea.
And South Korea has pulled out $65 billion out of assets out of the United States.
That's right.
All of our military is on high alert over
now
there.
Now we're getting there. Come on, let's talk
all
about the U-2. Let's talk about the U-2.
Oh, you do.
Well, I'd like George to go into the economic side of it. He's a good man on economics.
I'm talking about a U-2 plane.
Oh, the U-2 spy plane. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. They've been shot down over there. And
let's talk about that.
The U-2 was on a reconnaissance mission to find out exactly where the South Korean army units were stationed. They have some pretty secret divisions that are not generally in touch with the United States military command. They've been operating outside of the unified command. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, We don't have United States forces in South Korea. We have United Nations forces there. To this very day, it is not called United States Army, it is called the Forces of the United Nations. Now, the South Koreans know this, so they've been smart enough to keep some of their best divisions outside of the control of the United Nations. So lo and behold, what did we do? We sent one of our reconnaissance planes. Funny enough, this thing came from the same base that Lee Harvey Oswald worked at. Now, a lot of people think Lee Harvey Oswald was a dummy. He was not. He was a very, very smart individual. And he worked at the very same base in Japan where this U-2 plane was launched from. But it was downed, not by the North Koreans, but by the South Korean army units that are outside of the control of the North Korean, of the United Nations.
You're saying the South Koreans, but yeah, Hapton said it was taken about a cosmosphere.
Oh, well, I'm not saying who did it, but I'm saying that it was done by forces outside of the North Korean and the South Korean army. There are certain secret areas of the South Korean army that they do not want Bush and company to know about. So I don't know who actually did the downing of the plane, but it certainly was downed.
Well,
it was on a mission to...
A Russian cosmosphere.
Well, this is
brought
like
it down. That's...
I wouldn't doubt that
neither
for
here
one second.
Nor there.
Right.
But the reason that it was over there is what's important.
The reason why it was sent to spy on these special units.
And what it was carrying. I want to tell you, all in this room, it had a nuclear war-headed... I don't know what you call it. I'm going to call it a missile. But it's very small. And the intent was to drop it accidentally. Just to cause an incident. Now that's why it was brought down. And it was brought down into South Korean waters. Now what you ones don't understand, and this is what John keeps touching on, that I think we need to discuss a little bit, because I'm not going to give you definite, well, you know, Sananda's going to be on a Russian marked plane or something like that. Don't expect this. But as facts began to assimilate, information begins to assimilate, and you carefully ponder these things, you're going to be able to put some twos and twos together that are going to give you some nice round sums and a little bit of comfort. You're not in this alone. Your major enemy, if you will, it's hard on this earth, your major enemy is your own government. So, and well, actually running right on up through your mother England.
Exactly.
It always goes back there. So that is your enemy. So know it.
It's interesting. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Well, I want to talk about the cosmospheres for a minute.
Certainly.
When you have the military still in charge of the atomic weapons and Soyuz Pomyet still in charge of those cosmospheres, remember something I told you a long time ago when we first started writing. The command has a very good workable relationship with the cosmospheres. Now that may sound very strange to you, but the ones doing space research at the time that those things were being built and progress was being made on them, they had the intent of space exploration. For the sake of space exploration and the possibility of having inhabitable places set up to house part of the humanity on your planet. You see, there is an element on your planet who knows who the enemy is. And they don't really want to play games with them or ball with them. And now that you have a grid system hooked up where those pulsate beams can be sent anywhere. The thing that keeps you protected to any extent is all, is that to any extent at all, is that you have outside that grid system, you have another grid or another umbrella of cosmospheres. And they have more power and more maneuverability, more capability, more technological advanced perfection than anything that you have, and you've got a lot of pretty wondrous things. A lot of it having been done in conjunction with what I'm going to call the black elite of the Soviet Union. So you've got a real, real confrontation brewing, just as John said, in that old Soviet Union, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to get hot one of these days.
Pretty soon.
And you can count on the war beginning somewhere in the Middle East. And then you can count on the bear from the north marching down against those ones, and they will be driven all the way into Turkey. You can count on it. And then China is not going to keep out of it. The Mongols are going to come. And there are hordes of them. And there is going to be a conflagration. How bad it is remains to be seen. It's going to be bad. Because it has been intentionally done that all the third world nations now have capability of blowing up something with an atomic weapon of some kind. Just like putting it on a U-2 plane and sending it off for surveillance. To cause a happening. A happening. It will be a happening, all right. It's going to be like the KAL-007. Where right now, they have one of your senators in a Moscow prison. And they have the whole bunch of passengers that were supposedly gone down on Sakhalin Island incarcerated. There weren't any deaths, really, from them. Quote, shoot down. So you ones have to look at everything you see with a very wary eye. Very wary eye. And if they start denying it, you know it's true. That's as far as you have to go to know it's a lie. The moment it's attacked and denounced, you know it's a lie, and it's probably very close to the truth, what you heard in the first place.
A question?
Please.
So in Edward Air Force Base, are these Bolshevik Zionist Russians?
Oh, son, please, let's not try to sort all that out. Just leave it as confused as it is.
In other words, it is confused.
It isn't even safe for you to pronounce the terms. And I certainly wouldn't bring that anthill to life in this room.
No, I think you should leave it.
I mean, when we speak discretion, let us honor our good fortune, call it whatever you want, to have some active surveillance people in our midst. You cannot win this one, my friends, unless you have the capability of matching their intelligence. You're not going to get it by fumbling along praying. You pray and then you get information and you work on that information. And we're very, very fortunate to have John here. And John, it wasn't easy coming here. He had a long way to go to come into any kind of comfort with our purpose.
A long way.
And we're not going to allow this New Age group attitude to continue. And yet neither are we going to jeopardize anyone by allowing anyone to think we're any smarter than that.
It was interesting for me personally that some time ago, I gave George some information about the number of flights that were coming in groups of six, four to a flight, and I told him they were carrying massive equipment for a new project they were starting, and I was told the dates that these flights were going to be there, and then I checked again in the evening and found they had arrived. They came in four to a flight, six flights, so we had 24 very, very large transport aircraft landing at Edwards. In which they brought all this information, all this equipment, for this new project.
The new $100 million project?
Yes.
They already have it on the ground?
It's on the ground. They brought it in with 6x4 flights on C-130s.
Which gives you a synchronization between now and the end of the month, mm-hmm. before Bush does something, that they may go ahead and do something.
Exactly.
It's a little tenuous right now.
Right.
Well,
but the project, the material, the equipment for the project has arrived. It is there.
Probably right.
This is just a little aside to court. Ones of you will be coming into bits and pieces of information because of what you do. And I really appreciate it when it is shared. And I know that the curiosity sometimes gets very, very, very big. And you have a right. I want you to be curious. I want you to try to find out everything you can, always being discreet and knowing that everything that you do now can be very dangerous either to yourself or to ones around you, because we are doing nothing subversive. Nothing. And that's the way it's going to be. If telling the truth is recognized as being subversive by your government, then you better look at who are the treasonists. But just as a little bit of timing for your next real scare, we're trying to get some ones into closer proximity to come under a shelter of care, and we're hoping to do it before the middle of March. I don't know if you have that much time. I believe that in this community and toward the West you will have. That does not mean that you won't be into it in the Middle East. And watch what your government's doing. Where are your soldiers? What is going on? And wouldn't it be nice if you were going to start a big war if you had a whole bunch of them still in Saudi Arabia, for instance? The whole thing is built to confuse you, not to allow you to have reason about it. And if you get sidelined on specifics, let us just say Algeria or Syria or something, you must hold the overall concept in goal in your mind. And then watch what happens. And especially those things they just pass over very lightly, not the least of which is this radio installation. You'll get more information from what your mind will tell you if you'll be quiet and listen to it. And then use discretion. I won't keep you standing. Thank you.
Thank you, Commander.
Commander, I have a question regarding
Please.
Canada.
Please.
I know most of your work is focused on the United States for good reasons, but I wonder how far can we go in Canada in terms of, how do I put it, being not politically active, but in communicating the truth or with the MPs, you know, members of parliament and other representatives. Is it useful?
I think your best approach right here is to speak about that with John. I mean, you are talking to somebody now who was in His Majesty's Secret Service.
Okay, thanks.
Canada has a very strict system of control. Canada is not a country in the sense like the United States is. It's really an outpost of the Queen, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, and you have a system there where Canada is run by much the same institution as running America. The Council on Foreign Relations has its counterpart in Canada. It's called the Canadian Institute for International Affairs. So you have the same control mechanism in Canada. In fact, I would say that in Canada you have less opportunities for movement than we do in the United States as of now. The control in Canada is far more strictly exercised.
And it's so far-fetched to the American person to think that you're just now another little unwieldy colony of the crown. You're a little bit more accepting of that in Canada.
See, in Canada, your whole system of control is run by the Knights of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, which are hand-picked individuals chosen by Her Majesty the Queen as her servants, her personal servants, and their duty is to serve her in whatever capacity she directs them. Now, you had the head of Canadian Pacific, you had the head of all of your the Bank of Nova Scotia, the Royal West Bank of Canada, Canadian Pacific Railroads, all the Montreal banks, every one of those commercial enterprises is run by a selected individual who is in the order of the Knights of St. John of Jerusalem. They virtually control the total commercial activity in Canada, and they also control all of the political activity.
What about the Quebec situation now? It's they are in the process of working on the reforming of their constitution. At least they got committees going around the country trying to gather information from the public. How do you think the Quebec situation will be resolved? Is it going to be resolved, or is it just to divide the country?
I think it's merely to divide the country. It's easier to rule a country that's divided than one that's united, and we've seen that over and over again, in right down to local levels, where you have local municipal elections, you have divisions, and this goes all the way to the top. I don't see the Quebec liberation movement coming to any success. I think it is being used as a spoiler operation to create turbulence within the country, to create discord, and a country in that state is easier to control than one which is in harmony. Absolutely. And I believe that's the situation there. You have a strict control. Canada is so controlled by the royal family, the Queen of England particularly, through her Knights of St. John of Jerusalem, that they have control of every aspect of the commercial life of Canada. The commander of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police is a member of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, the Knights of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem, which is a total Freemasonic order. Again, get into that aspect, I don't particularly want to do that right now. But
would you know of any politicians or any political movement who would be trying to do some good to the country?
Yeah, they've all been arrested. You have four trials going on now. Of all these people have been charged with hate crimes. Those people were trying very hard to make a political. They've all been arrested and charged with hate
The power
crimes.
Is too much to work up at the very top, I will tell you that. But yeah. I sat in a room with Pierre Trudeau and a few others at the time, and they just flat out said they control it all. So you're looking at Paul Volcker was there, you know, and they were you just don't know the power. And you can't go back up and say what senator is good. We got 535 of them. I think all of them are controlled in some way.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I'll just make one other point, if I may. That is, there's one family that has control of Canada, and that's the Bronfman family.
Bronfman, yeah.
Yeah. Edgar Bronfman is an order, a knight of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. He's also a member of the Committee of 300. Now, they have total control. He's one of the strongest Zionists in the world, Edgar Bronfman. He runs the ADL branch of Canada.
The Jewish Congress president.
Yeah, the president of the Board of Jewish Deputies of Canada. He's in charge of that. You have such a tight control exercised in a limited group from the top down that virtually anything that happens in Canada is known instantly. And you'd have a terrific job to start any mass political movement that could in any way threaten the rule of Her Majesty the Queen. And you know, you've got all these people in your Privy Council. Your Governor General, he's handpicked by the Queen of England as a trusted knight of the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. These people have got they're like an octopus sitting there with all these tentacles out.
Okay, like in the United States, the commander is urging you American citizens to write to their congressmen or representatives and so on to make their views known. And
correct.
Everyone understand what is any anything like that that could be done in Canada, I mean, at the grassroots level, okay, I want to write to my MP and so on, is it worth it? That's what I want to know.
Personally, I don't think so. I think the only thing that you're going to get from that is a visit from a member of the constabulary to ask you what your political views are and what your affiliations are. Don't forget, we still have some laws in the United States which give us a semblance of protection against that kind of thing. You do not have that in Canada.
What can you do, John, in your view, if because I think Bernard wants to know what to do where he is.
What you can do where you are is only begin at the level where you know people that you can really trust and have known, and you can get together and you can decide that you're going to try and educate people. And educate them by means, the lawful means in the government of Canada. And try to get your message out, but you are very much restricted in Canada. It is one of the worst countries in the world for the dissemination of information, simply because you've got this octopus with all these tentacles right on top of you. Fortunately, as of now, and of course it can change at any time, we do not yet have that in the United States.
I see. Okay. Do you know anything about the immunization program that is going on in eastern Canada, where 300,000 kids, you know, children and youngsters are being inoculated in the wake of those meningitis cases?
Meningitis is an adjunct to AIDS. There are thousands of cases of meningitis in the United States that are not even being reported. In fact, we have a virtual epidemic in places like New York, San Francisco. Mm-hmm. An epidemic. I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of people going down with it. But it's not being reported because it's an adjunct of AIDS. When people, even measles is out of hand in the United States. Things that we thought were dead long ago, like smallpox, is rampant. Now you have a new threat on the borders, that's cholera. That's come up from Mexico. First of all, it started in Peru. That's where it began. And this is all deliberately done. I want to tell you, it's not something that's happened just as an accidental virus phenomenon. It's not that at all. It's deliberately constructed in this way. That has now reached this United States, where you get it in the morning and you're dead in the evening. And that's all part of the Global 2000 plan. Inoculations. We had a big scare campaign in the United States a few months ago, and it's still ongoing, that everybody must rush and get flu shots. Now we're finding that 95% of the people who had flu shots are showing positive testing for HIV.
So that the danger alerts behind that program is well in Canada then?
Absolutely. If I were to have enough timidity to give you advice, I would say don't go near any inoculation programs.
I understand that, but I do have some nephews and nieces down east.
Well, it's very difficult.
It's a difficult decision
to make. This is the hardest thing that you ones are going to have to face. This is the purification. This is the cleansing. This is the way it is. This is what you've come to. And it's going to be difficult. Under the best of circumstances, it's going to be difficult. And you're going to be confronted continually. More and more horrendous things are going to come.